You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
A goat is more than 70 pounds.
No, maybe a baby goat.
What are we talking about? Miniature pony? What is that?
One of the Shetland ponies? Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
they're fat as hell. They look like me with a mane.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. My head is down this afternoon. I'm feeling shame. I've just let so many people I care about down, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to regain your trust and your loyalty again, but I hope you will stick it out with me.
It'll be fine. I hope you will. You know what you could have done? You could have lied. You're not a liar.
I'm not a liar. I'm a man of integrity, because yesterday I was hopeful that I could break the record for the least amount of steps taken.
Right.
And I wasn't even close.
Just didn't happen.
I was so demoralizing, because by the time I got downstairs and had breakfast and coffee and got to the couch, yeah, I was like 200 steps already. You know, immediately. I'm like, I'm done. I've failed everybody, and I'm not going to be able to get it back on the rails. So yeah. I apologize to anyone that may have bet the under and lost money on me and thought I could pull it out. Stick with me.
Who's betting?
I don't know. Probably nobody.
There wasn't a line out there like, is Hayes going to do it or not? Like, if somebody put a C note down on, like, Hayes is going to be under 100 steps, I know it.
Well, I think Korolnik and Koliakova bet, two guys from the morning, from First Up. I don't know if Landsberg was involved in that. I don't know what kind of bet they put on the line, but pretty sure Korolnik won. So I've cost Carlos something. But anyway, it's in the past. I'll try it again in the future. I'll see if maybe the next time I'll rent a hotel room. That's the move.
A hotel room. Crack the door, lay on the bed. They can just bring in room service.
Roll over. The bathroom's right there. That's the move. In the future, I will rent a hotel room.
A small hotel room.
Very small.
Not a suite.
Just like what you get in Europe and stuff. You know what I mean? You ever been to European, like Holiday Inn? And
believe me, I lived in Japan for 4 months. You ever seen a hotel? Well, you have.
I have been
a hotel room in Japan. It's like a closet.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. It's the bathroom you have to step up into, and it's like a little porta potty. And then there's a single bed and a desk. That's it, and a window if you're lucky. And I stayed at some pretty nice hotels.
Oh, these are five star,
and
you can't move.
It's like you're on a ship. There's like a little window and that's it.
You're
but
at the
it's
Four
great.
Seasons cruise.
Yeah,
Tokyo.
It was good enough for me. I was fine with it. But
I'm not complaining.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Next time, that's what I'm doing.
European hotel rooms, they can be a little small.
It's a joke. It's really like, you know, and you're over there and you're out. You're never at the hotel, so it's not the end of the world. But we've stayed in some doozies, Amsterdam, Berlin.
I can't imagine a hostel.
Yeah. When you really think about it, though, when you go on vacation, like I've done the whole deal where it's $1,000 a night, you're never in the room. You're never there.
No, you're not. You're a tourist. You're over there.
You're out all day long. You come home, maybe a little cat nap, then you go for dinner, and then you're out all night. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
I'll admit.
There's no point.
I spend a little bit longer in the room than other people. I don't like sitting out in the sun and the beach and all that. So I'll go back and sit on the internet, listen to some music.
You're a hotel guy.
I'm more of a hotel guy.
Nothing wrong with that. To each their own. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30 on what went down yesterday. We'll start looking ahead to the Super Bowl a little bit, but we got 2 weeks to do that. But two incredible games. Both go to overtime. There's so many details that came out of it. So we'll catch up with Marcellus in about half an hour. Rays coming up here in a moment. The Leafs had themselves a tough weekend. I mean, they really did not play well in Florida on Friday night. And last night, you can tell they've come up with a manufactured message. They're trying to convince the world that it's all good and they're fine and they're being positive, which I can understand. I have no problem with trying to portray that.
And sometimes teams and organizations and coaches, they do that when they're struggling. Instead of beating everybody down and this guy sucks and that guy sucks.
I think that's where they're at right now. Like Babcock, you want to hear the clip post game?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
This is at home. The Leafs have really been struggling. Arizona's one of the worst teams in the league. They're depleted with injuries, and the Leafs lost. And this is what Babcock said post game.
Well, I thought we had pretty good urgency tonight. I mean, like I said to you, we had the puck a ton. The puck didn't go in for us. I thought they blocked a ton of shots. I thought they did lots of good things, stayed inside. In saying that, you can always be a little, you can always want more, but I thought we stayed the course. I didn't think we gave up that much. I thought we did a pretty good job.
That's a message that I can understand what he's trying to do and try to achieve. I don't think they played horribly last night.
No.
But I don't think he actually believes they played some great game. They did not play a great game.
What he's trying to do is soften the blow a little bit so that everyone takes a collective pause, because everyone seems to be a little bit angst right now. And what's going on?
Things suck. You don't want to be the guy that everybody hates.
Well, and people are starting to take a look at Mike's coaching a little bit, saying, what's going on here? What are you doing here? What are you doing? Like, the first couple years, cakewalk, because, hey, the pain was coming. What did you guys call it? The perfect tank, or I can't remember what it was.
Prototypical tank.
Yeah, like they, you know, high energy, hard work ethic, but you ended up losing the end of the night. Like, now they're on the clock because the expectations are there, because the team on paper is a very good team. So, and they've achieved it, but Mike, everything that he's put together has worked for the most part.
Yes, and this is, again, I think, you know, I might be putting a different spin than some people are going to be expecting, because I'm not by any means suggesting they're playing well. They're not. I mean, there's no disputing that. You look at the way they're playing, and they've had a few games that have really been ugly. Like, horrible efforts.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, this is still, we're still kind of in the infancy of this whole rebuild when you think about it. I do think it's a learning experience that can be very beneficial. You know, right. I think for Mike Babcock, he's got to figure out, because people mock it all when he says they got to work harder. He's right, but it's on him to find a way to trigger that in this team.
Correct.
It's on Babcock to find a way to relay the message so the players understand what that means. And it's not simply getting your heart rate up. You know, it's fighting for position. It's winning battles.
Winning puck battles.
It's, yeah, exactly. And they're just not doing it right now. They look as if they believe it's going to be very easy. But you're right. Babcock has never had his contract under the microscope like it is right now, because of the expectations and the way they're playing. Joel Quenneville's name is coming up left, right, and center. That's not going to happen.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's all over Twitter. Oh, it's, now maybe I'm paying too much attention to that, and maybe I shouldn't be paying
any
credence to it.
Are those on, like, blogs?
No, we're just talking about people, like fans. Okay, I'm not saying that Shanahan has come out and been spotted calling Joel Quenneville, but, you know, Gardner's getting booed.
Yeah.
They're getting booed off the ice last night. Kyle Dubas, you know, this is his first slump as a GM. This is a big learning experience, and I think it can be beneficial, because you realize that it's not always going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And you have to find a way to reprogram yourself as an organization to get back on the rails. It's got to happen.
And also,
no matter how good you are, you're going to go through something that's...
But wouldn't stuff like this speed up your timeline? If you are looking at tinkering with your team, wouldn't something like this continue to maybe press on a little bit? If you're Kyle and you're looking at players, like, I'm not saying you have to panic because you're still nice in the standings, but there are other managers out there that are being proactive, and I'm not suggesting Kyle's not, but...
Well, based on moves, he hasn't done anything
right
yet.
But he hasn't really had to. He's allowing Travis Dermott to grow. He's allowing situations like that to play out. The GOAT on fourth line. Like, now, you've got a couple injuries, but they haven't been, in no disrespect, but Ennis, now Janssen. Like, they haven't had, other than Austin, you haven't had, like, massive injuries. To me, I think Kyle's going to have to do something and pull the trigger sooner than later, just to let everyone know we're moving forward.
Well, and I'm on top of
exactly,
it.
Exactly, that's
know.
The word.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Obviously, the Leafs are in a tough spot. They're not playing well. I think they're 9-9-2 in their last 20 games. Kyle Dubas, though, I mean, as a rookie GM, he's never been in this situation where his team is slumping and the whole fan base is kind of freaking out. What do you expect out of Dubas?
Well, nothing about him says to me, anyway, that he's going to make a rash move or make a panic move or make a move that's a sideways move. He strikes me as very methodical and, you know, they'll look to improve their team when they can. If there's one thing this stretch has done for the Leafs, and I think there is a chance that this becomes somewhat of a turning point for them, it's that It exposes weaknesses that might otherwise have been hidden when they were rolling over top of everybody. How many times, guys, did we say, yeah, they didn't play very good, but it doesn't really matter. They won anyway. We said that a lot in the first, whatever, 30 games of the season. And now some of those warts are starting to show. And what are the warts, really? But look at their forwards right now. So you've got Lindholm, who's got one goal this year. You've got the GOAT, who's not going to score. Now you've got Connor Brown, who's got four goals. One of them was that empty netter that he pushed in from the goal line in Dallas. One was a deflection off a Hainsey shot in Jersey. So that's three. You've got Nylander's got one goal in 20 games. And you got Patrick Marleau, who is looking every bit of 40. That's five of your 12 forwards.
That's crazy to think you're talking like that, Ray, after at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
We were talking about depth.
Yeah, that seemed like 100 years ago. But now you've got five guys in your lineup that don't give you anything offensively at the moment. And Kadri's had his in and outs. It's been a difficult year for him. So if you sort of kind of include him in that group, that's half of your forwards. And then that doesn't even get to the defense, which we've talked about for 2 years. So I think this stretch enlightens or exposes where the weaknesses are. And if they're going to be a good team, which we all thought they were at the beginning of the year and probably all still think they're going to be, that kind of spotlights where the moves need to be.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you look up front, and there's a lot of different players you can point to. But for me, you know, it's going to begin and end with your best player. And maybe there's some debate now in terms of who the best player is. We'll get to that in a moment. But coming into the season, I think it was unanimously accepted that Austin Matthews is the man. Mm-hmm. He's the guy. As good as Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Kadri are, this is his team. And he has just not been himself for quite some time.
Since coming back from that injury.
Yeah. I mean, he's shown up in some games and had some big goals and stuff like that. It's not like he's awful. You know, he's above average, clearly. But he's got the capabilities, and we've all seen it, of being a top 5 or 10 player in the world. I mean, we've all seen it. And he's just not there. And, you know, he's been inconsistent to the point now where at practice today, Babcock has put Marner on his wing, which I can understand, and I think I understand the logic behind that move from Babcock, but it kind of says something about how Matthews is not in a position right now to be a guy that you can just push aside and say, oh, he's going to dominate, like you expect out of McDavid and Crosby, and Ovi's going to score his goals. Like, their coaches never worry about their players. Babcock, I think, is understandably a bit worried about Austin Matthews.
Oh, and it's there to see. You know, there's been not that he's the most aggressive player, right? Like, he's not running all over the place. But there's almost, not just with him, but it's like every game is a search. Like, they're not aggressive on the puck. They're not. A couple of games ago, I forget who it was, he got his helmet knocked off, and he went into this frenzy for about 20 seconds. And I was like, that's what he looks like when he's on top of his game. Do you remember he came out of the corner?
Yep.
He didn't have his helmet on, and he was like, he was possessed. And there's not been enough engagement from the Leafs in general, and of course we're talking about Matthews now, but in general, I think that's been an issue for them. Now, the guys you mentioned before, McDavid would score points, with two stumps on his wing. Crosby and Ovechkin are veterans, and they've both gone through long stretches at various times in their career where they've struggled like this too. And you've got to keep grinding and digging away. But it is interesting that the way forward is with Marner. Because remember, that's how they sold Tavares. One of the things was he wanted to play with Marner. And now with Nylander not producing anything, you don't have another creative winger to play with him. There's not one other guy that could even be in the ballpark with Nylander not going. It's Matthews. It's not Kapanen. He does it with his legs, right? He's not going to be making great plays with the puck like Nylander can and like Marner is every night. So you get into a, we got to try this now. And it does seem like a search again for Toronto.
Well, you know, we've done a pretty good job of trying to avoid the business of the summer in terms of contracts and all that. But how much value do you place in terms of the dollar amounts and the comparisons within the team when Babcock, you know, is effectively saying, hey, Matthews, you're promoted to Marner's line. You know, that's kind of what he said today. He's like, Marner plays against the best players, so you better be good away, or, you know, away from the puck. Almost talking about Matthews as if he's like a call-up or something. And, you know, I don't think it's a surprise based on their play. It's merited.
I don't think he was talking like that, Brian. I think he was just saying, as for right now, this guy is the best player in our team, and he's getting the best matchups.
Well, I mean, yes, I agree. But Marner's got to feel pretty good about himself.
He should.
Like the coach is saying, you're the guy. That's how I read it. How did you read it, Ray?
Yeah, I think Noodle said he should. He's been the best player from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Anderson got hurt, maybe that took him out of the best player. And that doesn't get to Tavares' 30 goals, which is, you know, a phenomenal total he's got already. But to me, Marner's been the best guy, and he should feel damn good about his game. Because there's every night, it's like every night, he does something that makes you realize what his value is to the team.
I agree. And you're right. If we had to do a top three for the Leafs this year, Anderson got hurt. So it's Marner, Tavares, and Anderson for me. And Riley deserves. Riley has to be in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, because he's been more healthy than Anderson. But it's no slight.
Well, but they've been brilliant. That's looking in the rear view. Let's apply that to the future. You know, the old hypothetical Kessel or Crosby when he came back from a concussion.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
What was that argument again?
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Let's not get off track. No, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
But who are you taking if you got, you know, for the rest of the season? You're picking one guy who you're like, on this team, I need on this team.
It's very simple. It's Mitch Marner.
Is it Marner?
Yeah.
See,
Take Freddie out of it, okay?
Yeah, to me,
there's actually no other answer. There's no other answer.
Well, I think Austin would deserve that. He should deserve. He's the centerman. He's the stronger player defensively.
No, but we're
all
just going on production performance.
Yeah, but you're saying
forget about
forward.
Position. Yeah. Just
the rest of this season up until July 1st. If Mitch you're building a team, who are you taking?
Mitch
right
hasn't
now?
Done anything to hurt my opinion, but I think Austin is, you know, the super elite. Like, I think there was a time where you guys wouldn't trade him for McDavid. Like, that wasn't that long ago.
Don't let me in on that. I never said that, but I hear you. I understand that. Well, it is a little.
Like I said, I'm just going on recency bias and what's been happening.
Well, Mitch deserves a lot of love.
There's been injuries. I'm just dealing with what I'm seeing on the ice.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not even close.
Ray?
I can't even believe that I would be at this point, but it is Marner right now.
Yeah, he's been great.
But they cannot win without Matthews.
Exactly.
They cannot win anything unless Matthews shakes these doldrums. And he will.
Yeah.
But they cannot. It's not possible for them to win with an unproductive Austin Matthews.
That's right.
And Ray, you know, we've all played. I mean, same thing. We've all played with guys who've gone through this. Ray, I'm sure you went through it. I'm sure you went through stretches where you didn't score. Like,
oh, yeah.
All I could think of is Iginla. Like, Iginla, I'm sure, went through 12, one goal in 12, one goal in 13.
Yeah, Jerome used to start slow a lot of years, too, but he'd end up with 50.
And the headline would be in Calgary. I could see it all the time. You know, Calgary's son, what's wrong with Jerome? Should we trade Jerome? Like, it was always that.
I would have to beg Ronnie Francis, like, just say, tonight I need that empty netter that's a slam dunk. Like, no look, like, backdoor play. Where I don't have to think because I can't do anything right now. I don't want to touch the puck. I don't want to carry the puck. I just need an empty netter.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, man, there's sometimes that it's like you were shooting it into a thimble. And you're like, I don't have a chance, man. I've got one hockey card where I've got a full beard. And I hadn't scored for a couple of games. And I said, I'm not going to... shave again till I score. Full beard. And they took a hockey card. 18 games.
Wow.
I was like, man, if I don't score pretty soon, man, I'm going to have this thing dragging on the ice.
No kidding.
I sucked.
Sorry, Ray. I agree. I think the Leafs, as much as Marner's been brilliant and should be in every conversation for the best player on this team, and that I agree that for the Leafs to have success, it has to flow through Austin because that's what creates the depth. If not, then you're a one-line team. Because Ray, you just pointed out, like Kadri's out of sorts. You know, he's a guy who, he's hit some posts and stuff, but to me, it hasn't been consistent enough. And he needs to be more invested. And Mike, that's up to the coach to get him more invested.
Would you ever think about doing like get him involved on left wing somehow with like a top line and just?
I think that's a good question though. Is the role of Babcock like how responsible is he for the players not performing?
Well, can I answer quickly?
Then? Yeah, go ahead.
So. I get if they don't earn the ice time, you don't put them out there. But there may be some night where you just have to run Austin 21 minutes or run Kadri 18 or something. Like you have to take a look at the big picture. And now
he
they have to earn
seem
it.
To do that, James. It just seems like everybody.
I know, but that's but when you're saying like that's always said. Well, there's an embarrassment of riches. Well, then weed out some of the guys who aren't playing and run guys that are going and.
I hear show that. Like an example of last night, you couldn't front load two lines and dominate that game and win that hockey game. Instead of after a goal, there was like Freddie Gault wheeling around.
You know, you've got Matthew, or you're not happy with Nylander, so you play him with Lindholm and the Gault.
Right.
What is he going to do there? and I know he's played terribly. I get it. There was a stretch my buddy Rick Lee decided he was so pissed at me that he played me for about a month with Dave Semenko and Shane Cherla. Nobody could pick up gloves faster than me by the end of that month. That's all they, you know, because that's what those guys did. And I'm like, how is this supposed to make me play better? Like, how is that going to spur William Nylander to play better? It won't. This is wrong for a lot of reasons. The only solution is for Nylander to get going. I'm sure he thinks he's doing everything he can, but I'll tell you, when I watch him, I can't remember more than one or two times where he's just taken off down the right wing and scared the hell out of the D with his speed.
No, he's not in shape. He's not in game shape.
He's not doing it. And until he does, playing with the GOAT is not going to make him play that way. And I hate saying that because I don't want to be disrespectful to this kid. But that's not what Nylander is about. If he's going to play and you're going to pay him $7 million, you have to push him to be productive. And that is, you're going to go out there and you're going to play, and if you don't score, you're going to be embarrassed, but I'm not hiding you. Get going. Like, put the accountability on the player. Because it's not going to work banging it around and chipping it off the glass. That doesn't do anything. I've been there, and I'm telling you, it doesn't work.
I know how that sounded, Ray. Ray, Shane, and Dave, you're up.
Ricky Lee. You're up.
Ray, Shane, and Dave, you're up.
Isn't it the other speech where he goes, power play videos in the other room, and it's the first period from the game before?
Guys, the power play videos in the other room, in the video room, if you want to check it out, go ahead.
It's amazing the Leafs couldn't get over the hump.
The other one might have been, you three guys go. Oh, thanks, Rick.
Ray, Shane, and Dave, you're up. He thought he was so funny, Ray. We were doing the skills competition, and me and Eric Lindros somehow got picked for the fastest skater. And Ricky Lee waltzed up to the board and he erased the S and he put another T, fattest skater. He looked back and he was like, ha 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 ha.
One game, we didn't get a shift into the middle of the second period. We were matching lines against Minnesota. Whoever their fourth line was never played.
Wow.
So finally they go out on the ice and so he taps us. Because Willie Plett was on their fourth line. He was a giant for people that don't know. Super tough. And so as we're skating out there, Dave Semenko goes, oh, yeah, see those fans on the other side of the ice? And I go, yeah. He goes, they think we've been sitting there because we won a contest and got to dress up with the Whalers tonight.
Ray, Shane, and Dave, you're dead.
Willie Platt was an animal. I love that guy.
Oh, my God, was he big. You know what happened? I won the draw. The puck went to the point. Somebody shot it. The goalie made the save. I shot it in the net. And as we're in the celebration thing, Dave Semenko, the late Dave, great, hilarious guy, goes, that's not going to help us any.
Jesus, I don't even know if this is real, but apparently Edmonton has re-signed this Koskinen kid to like a 3-year deal. It's like...
Well, we don't have time to get into Edmonton right now. We will get into Edmonton. There's too much going on in Toronto, but we'll try to corroborate that report. I saw that as well. I guess that means maybe Camp Talbot's.
Yeah, I'd get that Talbot out of there.
Well, after last night again, I mean, it was brutal. But anyway.
I'm going into Edmonton. I got the game there tomorrow for NBC against Detroit, so I'm sure it's all giggles around there right now.
Oh, it'll be outstanding.
Good.
Yeah.
Be good.
Find out what's going on there.
Didn't get an update. How did it go?
Well, I've been avoiding it. I feel
went
shame,
way
buddy.
Over 1,400 steps.
No, 1,200 steps, man. It's impossible, right? It's. I don't know if you're assigned.
Remember when you laughed at me? I said 2,000, and you're like, no, I'll be in the hundreds.
I honestly thought I could. I can't even tell you how much shame I feel. I feel like I've let so many people down because by the time I got downstairs, breakfast, coffee on the couch, I'm up to like 200 steps already, you know? So, and I had to shovel because I was too lazy to shovel on Saturday. I couldn't be that lazy on Sunday.
Well, why? Yeah, huh?
I don't know. I could have pulled it off, but I disappointed you. I understand. I can hear it in your voice.
You were so confident.
I was so confident. It's impossible. It's like that Seinfeld episode with Kramer and Newman in the cans and the state of Michigan. It's impossible. You can't pull it off. You can't. I don't know how people finish with 46 steps. It's not possible. So I'll try it again down the road. I'll regain your trust.
I think there'll be another day where you can wrap this up or wind this up again.
It won't be long, believe me. I'll give it another crack. I'm no longer a rookie. So I'll let you know.
I think you got to stay in your room and have all your supplies there Saturday.
Yes.
And not even move out of your room.
Well, I suggested a hotel room. That might be the move. Rent a hotel room. Right?
Yeah, because then you got room service.
Bathroom right there. It's perfect.
You could put the chain on the door so that you don't even have to get out of bed. You tell the room service guy, just knock and come on in.
Mm-hmm. Perfect setup. That's my next move. So I just need a free weekend, which I don't know if I'll ever get again because my wife has been asking me why I'm so lazy and didn't do anything around the house. So
now, how old's your daughter?
She's 3 now.
Oh, you got another 15 years, you'll get another weekend. It'll be great.
Yeah, somewhere around 2035, I'll be good. Yeah. I'll give it another shot. We'll still be doing this segment, so I look forward to that.
Oh, can't wait.
All right, buddy.
Later on, boys. Have a good day.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. We'll get you an update on what's up in Edmonton. Gary Roberts coming up later in the afternoon. Marcellus Wiley on, is he sick and tired of seeing the Pats succeed? We'll get you that answer, and we'll detail the previous two games from a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We'll get to that next. It's an off night for Toronto sports tonight. Raptors back in action tomorrow. They had a big win. They blew up Memphis on Saturday. And Kawhi didn't play in that game. Load management, back-to-back games. And they weren't back-to-backs.
Just treated it like it was a back-to-back.
Here's another game off, load management. I guess he had a doctor's appointment today, so he wasn't at practice.
I love that term, load management.
Yeah. I don't care what they call it or what their plan is, if he's willing to stick around. Now, this weather makes us feel a little bit pessimistic about the whole scene. Like, this weather, this is the grossest weather I can remember in Toronto.
You have to hope that he lives somewhere right downtown and he doesn't even go outside. Like, he walks
path.
Right to the
take the path.
Yeah, take
make
a
sure
path.
He's taking the path system everywhere he goes.
Like, that's what you're
is
hoping.
The worst. Yeah.
Because if he landed from Memphis at like 3 o'clock in the morning and it's -30 out, like, he may just say, I'm out.
It's ugly. Yeah. Here's our longtime NFLer, NFL analyst from FS1. My understanding is new dad as well. Well, he's been a dad before, but he just had a baby girl this morning. Is this fake news, Marcellus Wiley? Is this true? You just had a kid today or what?
Well, a part of it's fake. It's latergram, as the kids call it. That means we posted later than it occurred.
So, okay.
It happened on Friday night at 7:40, but then you just caught up in the moment, loving her. You're in the hospital recovery. So we didn't post her this morning, but she came out Friday night, 7:40.
Okay, cool. Well,
congrats.
Well, congratulations. And that would have been incredible. If it happened this morning and you still came out with us three bozos, that would be amazing dedication.
I should have ran with that.
Yes.
Yeah, I should have ran with that narrative. That sounds better.
That would have been outstanding. I feel like we've been doing this for 15 years. You know, this idea of, do we appreciate the Patriots? Are we bored of the Patriots? Well, they're going to their third straight Super Bowl, fourth in the last 5 years. How do you feel about that storyline alone, that the Pats have done it again?
I'm a big fan of dynasties. You know, going back to the school days when your teacher said, anyone could get an A in this class, but it's harder to keep it. And, you know, greatness, excellence, that's one thing, but the consistent excellence and the dynastic performances we see from the Patriots, I mean, you run out of words, you run out of superlatives, you just sound like everyone else, and yeah, they're amazing, what else? And I have to give credit to Belichick, obviously, for the scheme, the mentality, the culture, but even more credit to Tom Brady for being the best sheriff he could ever have in terms of enforcing that same culture and that mindset, that preparation is separation. And this team always comes prepared. They never beat themselves. They make luck occur, and they're always opportunistic. And it's just amazing that no matter who you put out there in terms of talent, and the talent level certainly is lesser there than it is with other organizations, they find a way. So you just look at them and just tip your hat and say, here we go again. And it's to your detriment, to your failure and doom if you bet against them, boys, because here they come.
More important weapon for Brady, is it Gronkowski or Edelman?
Edelman. One, Gronkowski certainly has been doing amazing things in the run game, but in terms of pass reception, he's a shell of himself because of the injuries, and I don't know if it's age and injuries, but certainly he needs a good offseason, a full focus to regenerate himself and re-energize himself, because they're able to control him a lot more in the passing game than ever before. But Edelman, he's hard to deal with, man. He's always got those option routes, especially across the middle of the coverage, short, intermediate. Very difficult to deal with. Clutch, always there, dependable. And it's funny, here's a fun fact about Julian Edelman I heard, that he has run the fastest tee time ever in combine history. So for people who don't know what a tee time is, it's basically the cone drill going side to side. So in short space burst in a phone booth, supposedly, Julian Edelman is the fastest we ever seen on the football field. It certainly shows every time you see him play.
Is a team going to hire Romo as like the guy that predicts the plays? Because apparently he just predicts every play. So if you're a team that's going to face the Patriots and they're going to be the nemesis, why not hire Romo? This guy is just magic in the booth, isn't he?
Oh, I love Romo. I mean, it's at the point that when I turn on a game and I'm like, oh, I hear his voice and I get excited. I'm like, oh, Romo's doing the game. I'm pumped. Yeah, because I know I'm going to get more than the standard operation. Look, Romo's amazing what he does. Quarterbacks are geniuses, even the sorry ones. They have to know what 11 players are doing on their side of the ball, including themselves. And then they have to know what the defense is doing pre-snap, post-snap. Quarterbacks are just geniuses. They have to know the game of football backwards. And then you add to the fact that he was going against a very vanilla defense. And Bob Sutton, I don't like to call for guys' heads, but at the same time, they need a new coordinator in Kansas City. They fixed that defense. They're number one in sacks, but they're 31st in defense, total defense. That's insane. That should never be the case. New defense, a coordinator, and I think this is a Super Bowl winning team next year.
Marcel, it's just a quick follow-up on Romo. Like, is he basically just like blank checking it from here on? Because everyone is just in love with this guy right now. I don't know what his contract is, but it's like all the talk on Twitter, half was about both the games. The other half is about how awesome Romo is.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly has changed the game. He revolutionized the color commentary booth in terms of that analysis and the latitude you get. I remember when he first started, people were hating him because he's calling out the plays. He's too excited. But he's actually not only watching the games with the same energy and spirit you are at the sports bar and at home, but he's giving you expert energy, analysis, and genius, which is taking it to another place. Instead of just saying, in the locker room, every guy is buying in, or just telling you generic cliches, he's actually giving you the pure, uncut dope. And that's why I love him, because he's saying it like a former player and like a guy who's been out there before, but he's giving you, like, coaching through that process, man. No one's like Romo, and I swear by him as well. I love him.
With Marcellus Wiley, a lot of former players, current players can be superstitious, believe in karma. We had this discussion in the previous hours. Todd Gurley kind of messing with the football gods, posting on Instagram, you know, the whole picture of the Photoshop picture of him and the ref exchanging jerseys and kind of exposing that, yeah, we got lucky there, but we're also going to kind of bring it up and mock it and laugh about it. How did you feel about Gurley kind of doing that and the play in general, the missed call, which was egregious and everyone knows that it should have been called?
Yeah, I love him owning it. You know, the elephant in the room, like, just jump on it. You know, try and ride the elephant instead of trying to walk around it and get stepped on. And we all know that if that call was made, that game was pretty much over, and the Saints advanced. It was a horrible call in terms of one or two penalties, if not both penalties should have been called, right? Like, head-to-head contact or at least call the pass interference, you can call both of them. But don't call nothing. Like, something just happened, and we all know it. And we're like, wait a minute. We've all watched too much football to say nothing just happened. And there have been many times you watch football and you're like, nothing did happen, and they call it. So that's what makes it more egregious than anything. But these are the breaks. Football is always a combination of great plays, bad plays, great calls, and bad calls. Every single game I've ever been a part of, some of them are not highlighted like that. But there's always a bad call, there's always a no call, there's always a great call, and you just got to roll with the punches.
How would you feel about penalties being, you know, challengeable by the coaching staff? How would you feel about that rule change if it happens?
You know, my thing is, I want to change how the system works. I'm not into reviewable, all plays are reviewable, and expand and replay, only if they do it this way. As soon as the referee throws the flag, somehow there's a sensor that goes to New York in the replay booth. And immediately they're saying yes or no to what that flag is on. So somehow, some way, the communication is that's a flag for PI. And instead of us sitting at home waiting for them to go under a booth or under a monitor and reading it, we don't need all that time wasted. Simply, New York says yes or no, and we go forward. If it was streamlined like that, I could buy in. But there's a holding call on every play in the trenches. If we're going to go with pass interference and make it reviewable, then we're going to go to holding. Then where are we going to stop? We open up Pandora's box. So for that reason, I say let's not expand it unless we streamline it and expand the technology as well.
Great stuff, man. Congrats on the news from Friday as well. Enjoy it, and we'll do it again next Monday. We'll really start teeing up the Super Bowl.
Oh, look forward to it, guys. Appreciate you, too. Thanks, man.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley. Long-time NFLer.
Had a baby.
Had a baby Friday night. Late to Graham. Later, Graham. Posted it only today, which is, I appreciate that move.
Fake news from our producer.
Al did sell it that
he
it happened
sell it
today.
Like he had a baby this morning.
This guy had a baby today. We were like, man,
still calling in.
What a warrior. Still calls warrior. In. Legendary
I'd call
status.
News, Al. I'd still call in.
I think you probably would.
Yeah, but What are you going to do? If the baby's sleeping, what the hell are you going to do?
Well, I guess from that standpoint, it's kind of a break from the hysteria of it all.
And go out into the...
Not going to go outside. You're not going to step outside.
No, you're not
going to
go outside, but you're going to find a quiet room. Mm-hmm. Maybe a landline. I doubt it.
Can you find landlines at the hospital? I'm sure you can somewhere.
I don't know. I have a landline. I don't even know why people have landlines. They're ridiculous.
For me. That's
for you.
For the benefit of guys like me.
Not piss you off.
Yeah, guys on radio that yell and scream about bad connection. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Gary Roberts coming up. Leafs not in action until Wednesday night. Then they're on their break. You got the All-Star game and a bit of a bye. They don't play again until like the next Friday.
The scheduling is insane coming up. There's teams that have like 10, 12 days off.
Right. This time of year. It's dog days of the year, you know. But once you get back in a couple of weeks, it's on.
It's a sprint.
You know, we're talking 30 games and let's go. So we'll catch up with Gary Roberts in about 20 minutes as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Tangerine Raptors basketball. Raps. Pacers, Wednesday night at 7. Get it on TSN, the TSN app, and TSN 1050. The Raptors live here. Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
I don't have much to say. I'll be out from what you comes for my night. Feelings come into play, and I'm thinking this happens every time.
All right, Gary Roberts coming up in about 15 minutes. Get his take on where the Leafs are at right now. What's it like in Toronto when the heat starts to really elevate? The Leafs coming off a couple of bad losses over the weekend, which is disappointing because they played well and it was a big win in Tampa. You know, very few teams win in Tampa, and the Leafs went in there and won. And the letdown on Friday and last night, they were okay, but they lost. You know, and they've been playing 500 hockey for quite some time. And the heat is on everybody. You know, the players, the superstars,
yeah, it's more
the
than
coach,
just
the
blip
GM.
On the screen right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, we're not talking to her. This is an overreaction Monday. Like, we're talking, you know, 20 games where they haven't played that well.
Yeah.
They
got,
now, they've had some games, but, yeah, you know.
Spotty. Not consistent like you expected.
20 games, if you're 500, that's a serious chunk of the season, you know. Like, it's time for them to get rocking here. Mm-hmm. And they got Washington on Wednesday, then they've got an extended break. And when they come back, it's a race.
It's a stretch.
They're
going
to play every second night, and they got about 32, 33 games. And in the standings, they're still okay. You know, they're still in second spot in the division. Buffalo's losing even more than they are recently.
What happened is the goodwill that the buffer that they had before has shrunk a lot. That's all.
And Tampa is so gone.
Tampa's gone.
But, you know, 2 months ago, they were right there with Tampa. And then you play 500 for 2 months. Tampa's, they're going to be 14
points
up.
What happens now is Boston, Montreal... Like they're hanging around. Like you say, Buffalo's hit the ditch a little bit, but it's funny because I don't know how many times I saw Leafs fans like, oh, Montreal lost tonight, Boston lost tonight, got some help. Like never they never mentioned that all year. All of a sudden you're getting help. That's not help. Like they just play your games and play well.
Yeah,
Leafs
gotta
be better.
Gotta get in. Like imagine if Tampa gets the number one seed and all of a sudden it's like. They got to play Pitt in the first round or something like that. It's like, what kind of reward is that for the number one seed? It's not.
It's going to be tough whoever you play.
Yeah.
You just
you
know,
get
that's
in,
what the playoffs
like, home ice
are supposed
advantage
to be.
Will be fantastic.
Yeah.
But get in.
It'll be fine.
Gary Robbins coming up back into what went down yesterday. Some stats about the Pats and Brady. And there's a quote from the owner of the Saints. You can imagine where this is going.
Well, how pissed off would you be?
Well, I hear you, but... They still had overtime, and they still had the lead. They still could have made a stop. You know, there's a lot. You got to give credit to the Rams too. The Rams played well. The Rams went in their building and won. Yeah. There's idiots with whistles in the stands. It's crazy. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update.
Problems came and went quickly on the eastbound 401 in Ajax approaching Lake Ridge. We had a crash that was blocking the left lane. That is gone, but we're still seeing major delays in the area from before Westney. For the rest of our majors, you're just contending with your normal volume delays for your drive home. In town, ongoing problems northbound Dufferin at Yorkdale Road. Construction crews are blocking the two right lanes. Westbound Dundas at Kipling, we have a crash that's blocking the two right lanes. Major delays in that area. Clear up nasal congestion and enjoy the new year. Otrivin medicated nasal spray helps relieve sinus congestion fast and moisturizes your nose. Breathe better, faster with Otrivin. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Misha Porter.
He was traded for Lee Stepniak. He traded shots with Conor McGregor. First Up with Michael Landsberg and Carlo Colaiacobo. Weekday mornings 6 to 10 on TSN 1050.
You ain't first, you're last.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.